quick show of hands. Who wants to live forever? Okay. Well, I'm glad some of you do, because I certainly do, because I want to live with Jesus in the New Jerusalem, and I'm sure you do. If you do want to live with Jesus in his New Jerusalem, you already have your entry ticket. Here it is. It's the Bible. All you have to do to activate your entry is to read the small print. And there's about 1,000 pages of it. But it's not just enough to read it. The Bible is more than your ticket to eternity with our Lord. It's also your way of life. The first Christians were known as the followers of the way. And so are we. Like them, we are people of the book. We know God through the book. We meet Christ in the book. Our faith and love are kindled by its glorious truths. And we come to the cross through the book. We have tasted the divine majesty of the Word and are persuaded that the book is God's inspired and infallible written revelation. Because of this, we are, along with Timothy, to continue in the things we have learned and those we have become convinced of. Paul is convinced that the gospel as it stands is vital for the salvation through faith in Christ. So Christians must be both conservative and liberal. Now, I'm not going to give a party political broadcast here. It's not the place for it. Paul here, in his letter to Timothy, we've just read, is emphasizing the conservative aspects of Christianity. Conserve the truth you know and trust. Don't leave it for any reason. Paul goes on to say why the Bible is the greatest treasure in the world. The scriptures are holy. They have a divine quality. They are God-breathed. We would say they are inspired by God. Now this is one of the more important statements in the Bible. Many atheists would point out that the Bible is full of anger and anomalies. Perhaps they should start reading it properly. Muslims approach the Bible too literally and state that it is corrupted and unreliable. Perhaps they too should try reading it properly. Because unlike the Quran, the Bible is not just God's revelation of his will for humankind. It's God's revelation of himself. The primary focus of the Bible is to communicate God's truth and God's love because he wants a relationship with us. In the Bible, no matter how bad people are, all the sorry sagas of broken families, kings who lusted for power, believers of feeble faith who must have made God wince or chuckle, idolatry and crass behavior, gross misunderstanding. Even the rich, beautiful portions of scripture become pearls before the proverbial swine, which of course is us. So this refusal to cover up the truth, no matter how shocking or dishonorable for the men involved, confirms the authenticity of the Bible. Messy, human, broken, miserable, weak, why would God use such a book? The reason is because God wanted the book to make sense to people like us. The fact that great men of God fell into sin shows how deeply ingrained it is in human nature. We are told this not to plunge us into despair, but to lead us, as David was led, to repent and to trust God's mercy alone for our salvation. God's very project to save us was to become one of us, a poor, no-account bloke from the boonies and the outback. He recruited few followers, who in fact failed him in the end. He partied too heartily. He mixed with the wrong crowd. He was accused of devilry. He got up the noses of the authorities, and then died a brutal, criminal death. A shameful showing for a sad human being, much less God Almighty. This is God's story. And this is my story and yours. It is really a stunningly beautiful story, and we can trust its beauty. And reading to understand it with the help of the Holy Spirit, we may, as Paul states, use it for teaching, because it teaches much that we could not have known. It supplies us with what is necessary, not only for a correct, but a lofty conception of God. It acquaints us with our fallen state and with God's dealing with us for our salvation. It's good for rebuking. Our errors are pointed out and we are stopped in our tracks. It's useful for correcting. By proper directions, admonitions, warnings, encouragements, it brings us back to the straight path. It's good for training. We are trained in righteousness. The lofty demands it makes, the loftier they are, the further we advance. It gives us the spiritual drill which makes for right habits. And so, armed with the Word of God, the man of God and woman may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. And now we come, of course, to the liberal aspect. To be liberal is to be free-handed and generous and large-hearted with what you have. And with the gospel, you have the greatest gift you can give anyone. What can be better than to have eternal life with our Lord? We are equipped for action. The God-breathed Bible aims to make us godly, to make us doers of good in this world. The doctrines of the Bible are designed to produce deeds, good deeds. And the time has come for us to be generous with our gift of the gospel. And the time could not be more appropriate. For as Paul says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. We are in the last days. In fact, we have been since Jesus went back to heaven. Now, every generation in the last 2,000 years has thought that Jesus will return imminently. And our generation is no exception. Just look at the world today. Wars and persecutions crowd our consciousness continually. It's so bad that Christ must be coming soon. But is he? We'll take 1 year. Take 1915 as an example. 100 years ago, we were in the middle of a horrendous world war. Millions died fighting in the trenches on all fronts. Thousands in the air or sea or on the home front. but millions were being murdered elsewhere. In 1915, almost to the day, the Turks murdered about 800,000 Armenians. In a period of 30 years from the beginning of the 20th century, they killed up to 3.75 million Christians, Greeks, Armenians, and Assyrians. The aim was to make sure that Islam was supreme. Today, ISIS doing the same thing. Now, however, although the 20th century was the most bloodthirsty century in history, Jesus did not return to prevent man's inhumanity to man. Perhaps the times are not yet terrible enough. If you read Paul's words carefully, he has concentrated on a person's internal feelings. I'll read it again. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Each of these instances of godliness can be found everywhere, even within us, all around us. Perhaps it's not just the spread of war and pestilence we have to watch out for, but the hardening of people's hearts away from the cross. 19 specific descriptions of moral ugliness. 19 ugly characteristics of evil people, which seem to be increasingly prevalent today. Paul follows this by a description of how weak-willed people, and I'm not sure it's only women, by the way, are enticed away from the gospel by people who have the appearance of spirituality. Paul says, have nothing to do with them. Some Christians take that literally and pull up the drawbridge at 10 a.m. and keep the cruel world outside, while evil people and imposters go from bad to worse, deceiving and leading people away from the truth. Paul says, we can recognize these people like Jannes and Jambres. These people were the traditional names of those magicians who opposed Moses to counter his miracles. After 3 miracles, their power gave out and they were exposed. So these creeping opponents of the truth may not get spotted right away. Remember, they have the appearance of godliness, but they will be spotted. God knows who they are, and he will protect his sheep. But what about those not saved? Those people with the 19 ugly characteristics. They will continue to be influenced by imposters and people who run down our Lord. Because these people are so in touch with Satan, they will somehow counterfeit or duplicate the miracles of God, and millions will believe their deception. They will go their own way, turning their backs on our Saviour. Paul does not wish us to ignore them, never to talk to them, because later he says, do the work of an evangelist. What he does not want is people associating with these people as if there is no problem. So as godly people, you should follow these marks. 1, you have nothing to hide. 2, you teach the truth. 3, you practice what you preach. And 4, you are not afraid of persecution. Now, regarding persecution, you are unlikely to suffer as Paul suffered, or even Timothy. What is happening to Christians in Northern Africa and the Middle East is not happening here yet. But no one gets a free pass that absolves them from suffering for Jesus. It may not involve beatings or torture or imprisonment or death. It may involve subtle forms of ridicule, public embarrassment, marginalization, being made the butt of repeated jokes, being passed over for promotion, social rejections, shunning and being the object of scorn and vicious rumors. That sort of thing happens all too often. When it happens, it is a true form of persecution, even though it leaves no outward scars. Anyone who stands for godliness, a life of positive purity and holiness and love, which rescues the perishing, that person will be persecuted. It is what we should expect. Precisely because we know the times, we know the world is living in rebellion with its maker and its king, so that if we stand up or stand out for Jesus, we should expect some opposition. So know the times and be prepared to stand up for Jesus. Our message must not change. We must continue to hold fast and preach the gospel contained in the scriptures. God's revelation of his Son, the Lord Jesus. The message that can change rebels into redeemed, sinners into saints. But do not fear persecution. The Lord rescued Paul from all his persecutions. If you stand by the Lord, it may cost you much. But by the grace of God and by the authority of God's word, if you stand by faith in your crucified and risen Savior, you will be delivered.